But you still want the flag up?
Don't look at me in my eyes.
What if this was your history?
What's wrong with you, son?
And what if the wrongs were
returned? And you keep your f***ing eyes on the ground. Walk.
Please feel free to make a speech.
And what if the roles were reversed?
Hey, give me some water.
You know, Eric, I want to like white people. I really want to like white people. But then they go about doing things like this, dressing up as slaves, whipping themselves, and being marched around. And as somebody who is, you know, a little bit more than white, I'd say you're a little more melanated.
Just a little bit.
I mean, what are your thoughts about white people like this? Let's just go deep, starting the beginning.
Well, they're the worst kind of white people as far as I'm concerned. No, but seriously, they are. I mean, they're these loser sort of white folks who, unfortunately, I wouldn't even call it caving in, because a lot of them orchestrate a lot of this bull crap as well, this sort of virtue signaling-esque type of deal, where they give themselves some sort of superiority that they don't, in fact, inherit. You know, you see all these videos, TikTok, that's where like all the stupid people are at these days, and they'll sit there and talk about how, well, you're white, then you're automatically oppressive, you're automatically racist, and it'll be like the scrawny, like pencil neck white dude that's in there lecturing everybody, who I'm like, there's absolutely no way that you could oppress like anything. Like, you have no chance and no capacity to ever be able to do that.
Like, it's like you're weak.
Yes.
Yeah, you're small. No.
you physically cannot, you can't, you're incapable.
Have you ever seen an average black man? They're a lot bigger than you.
Exactly. So for them to give themselves that power, I think, is the issue that I have the most. But look, you know, I was talking about this the other day. Like, we were at a point in history. You know, I was looking at like a video, for example, of like people that are watching Star Wars. Like, this was back in like 83s, before I was even born. And they were watching Star Wars. It was filming the people that were like before and after it. And you saw, you know, men, women, black people, you know, white people, and everybody was just having a good time and whatnot. And I was like, man, you think about going in like to the 90s and the early 2000s, like, we seem to be like over this hump for not to say there weren't activists, not to say that there weren't people that there weren't like racial issues that existed, but we were like over that. Like, certainly when you consider America and the West, we were like over that. Like, that was
the overt racism of like, my neighbor moved in and he's black, so I've got a lock, you know, add a second lock to my door.
Yeah.
I don't think we are there. We haven't been there for some time.
A very long time. And for whatever reason, you look at like mid 2015-ish, and it just fell off a cliff and we started reverting backwards. So now it's like, okay, there's a Klansman around the corner everywhere a black person goes, and they just cannot, you know, they can't succeed, or they have this fear of racism. You have this whole ongoing legacy of slavery, whatever buzz terms and rhetoric that they try to use. And like I said, like, a lot of that is facilitated by way of white people, white leftists giving themselves power and superiority that they absolutely do not have. But there's nothing conducive about what it is that they're doing to even solving any sort of issue of racism. All it is that a bunch of people are stroking each other's egos, massaging each other's egos.
Stroking a little bit more. Yeah. You know, a lot of these people are real LGBTQ friendly. I'll say that.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of stroking, or are they not? Both egos, and if that's the, how they yeah, fly, whatever. I mean, whatever works for them. But you certainly see that we have like this sort of professional activism thing going on amongst like different races, amongst different communities and what have you. And that's what everybody's
But
into.
White people are in charge of this.
Yes.
And that's what I want to say.
Yes.
Now that white yes. people have enslaved themselves to their own chains in this way physically, we're going to talk about how actually the new alt-right is black. And a lot of people might not know exactly what that means. And we're going to get into that in a second. But first of all, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. I don't know if you're familiar with our graphics here, if you notice that. We have 8K graphics. It's the kind of budget that Blaze, and being with a large network, actually brings you. Before we jump into anything, I want to give a huge shout out to the sponsor of today's show, which is My Patriot Supply. Now, I want to tell you, if you're worried about a financial collapse, or if you're like me and you live in Texas and our entire grid just collapsed, maybe you realized that the grocery store is not as reliable as you once thought. And the Biden plan for America is actually going to cause a lot more food shortages, probably, as you know, the windmills, wind turbines froze in Texas, and then we lost power, we lost food. And you're going, okay, so we should stop building those. Just kidding. They're going to be building more, and they're going to be operated by China here in Texas. So if you're not well stocked with emergency food or clean water, I suggest that you get started right away. And I personally suggest using mypatriotsupply.com. They have a 4-week supply of emergency food that lasts for 25 years in storage. It's pretty crazy. That's actually almost, that's older than you, huh, Sav? I'm pretty sure.
Definitely older than me.
That's older than you. So if you never want to worry again, you want to save $70 off this life-saving food, why not take the risk right now of being prepared when the risks actually come? Go to preparewithelijah.com today and get your emergency food, which will be shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. Anyway, go to preparewithelijah.com and get what you need before it's too late. Okay, so let's jump into this. So I'm talking about the alt-right being black, and a lot of people don't know what the alt-right is. So I wanted to bring up a very reliable source called the Urban Dictionary. Yes. Savannah, if you could bring up my screen here. So they describe the alt-right here, or the alternative right. This is a popular term in about 2016, 2015 to 2017. It's a name currently embraced by some white supremacists, white nationalists, to refer to themselves and their ideology, which emphasizes preserving and protecting the white race in the United States, in addition to or over the traditional conservative positions. Now, of course, when you say this, you're like, well, what do I mean by the new alt-right is black? We definitively decided that, small movements of people looking for racial superiority and to look out for their own interests are a negative aspect of our culture. And traditionally, that was white people. Well, due to pride, ego, brainwashing, and propaganda, and also some self-entitledness in our country, it is turning out that if we kind of replaced white with black in here, this would pretty much summarize the black rights movement currently in the country. It's just no longer about equality. It's about equity, which is about giving more opportunity, more rights, more cash incentive, more relief to black people. And in a way, now the alt-right, which was once exclusively about white people, I believe white people have stepped down from the place of superiority. And we're going to find out later, we're not even the ultimate victim. And I think black people are taking the cake. I don't know what you think.
Well, I mean, this whole idea that people want to emphasize, I guess, their own, right? Usually it's centered around race. Like certainly in this aspect, it's centered around people's color, you know, ethnic background or what have you. And that means that we all agree on everything and, you know, we're all the same and we know each other. I guess that's how it works. And some people actually feel as if there is some inherent superiority or inferiority depending on what people's races are. You know, and it's an interesting thing because I personally don't think that it's as new as a lot of people are pretending. There's been like sort of these uber pro-black, like nationalist type that have always thought that. It's just now it's more socially acceptable, right?
And they like Black Panthers and stuff, yeah, during like, the civil rights
like
movement.
You had movements of people, not as much Black Panthers, but you did have movements of people that fought with this idea that actually, no, it's the white folks that are inferior, not the blacks. Now, my position has always been the same on this. I don't even care. You know, if you think you're superior for whatever reason, whatever. My issue has always been when people want to, and this is unfortunately what ends up happening, and we see it in this day and age, where people want to then use the state, the government, to basically enforce this sort of line of thinking.
Well, that's why, and I know you might have seen this, you know, and we're going to get into the brainwashing of how this actually happens. I don't know if you watched this this show from Cartoon Network for kids, right, which is trying to get kids to join the alt-right. It's actually one of my favorite videos. And, if you pull up my screen here, Savannah, Tim Pool even noticed the same thing that I was referencing. He said Cartoon Network goes full alt-right. Let's play this initiation video for when you finally join the white nationalist movement of America. Let's check it out.
Or purple?
What the? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold up a minute here. Ugh, who wrote this? I think it kind of does matter that I'm purple. I mean, I'm purple because I'm literally an alien.
Well, I'm not an alien, but it definitely matters to me that I'm black.
Of course,
yeah,
the black girl speaks first.
That I'm white. I know the two of us get treated very differently.
I just think it's messed up to compare me being an alien to you two being different races. You're both human. You're totally biologically the same. Adding purple people into a lesson about human racism makes no sense.
Yeah, that is pretty weird. I think people like the black, white, or purple thing because adding a fantasy race in there helps distract from the actual racism black people have to deal with.
Right. My experience with anti-black racism is really specific. Other people of color experience other forms of racism too, but you won't see any of that if you don't see color.
Dude, so this entire public service announcement could be a ploy to avoid talking about racism altogether. Hey, can we get a rewrite where we appreciate each other without erasing what makes each of us different?
Okay, but it's gonna add a couple hours to the shoot.
I can make
your papers open.
You were rolling just now, weren't you? Can't we just slap some graphics on this and call it a day?
Okay. Before we even jump into this, this... I just want to bring this up.
It's on Cartoon Network.
I want to bring this up. Okay. The developmental stages of children, I'm pretty sure that before you can understand, abstract concepts is around 11 and 12 years old, depending on a person, a natural development. What four-year-old is sitting there, like literally, like, pooping their pants, you know, like, has, like, cheese ball stains on, like, their chin, and is like, yeah, this abstract concept of using an analogy to children of putting a purple person, telling kids not to care about color, is actually distracting away from the greater, higher complex of hierarchy in our society of Black people being discounted or somehow cast aside in social economic systems. And you're like, it's like, dude, you're a kid, you're just like, aha, purple non-binary alien girl, and you're like laughing, and you're just, what? I mean, do they think that kids understand this?
I don't think they understand that racism is a learned trait. Right. And this is something like, it's funny that they try to use this crap on kids when it's the kids that don't care about this type of stuff. Right. Like, as in, like, they will play on, you know, for you guys that are watching at home and you have kids, you understand this. They'll play with whoever at that young age. They don't care about any of that. It isn't until they're taught these sort of differences in which they say, oh, well, and then they're, you know, a lot of that, whether it be propaganda by way of the school systems or their parents or whatever, whoever's giving them that information, they then take that and they grow into whatever, you know, people that end up destroying private property in Portland. Like, that's what ends up happening. And for these people in Cartoon Network, which was something that is, no, we're not far removed from. I grew up on Cartoon Network, which, you know, actually decent cartoons that were watched by absolutely everybody of all different race. See, I'm not as against the whole idea of you don't see color, like, because again, okay, I'm Black, you're white, it is what it is. But unfortunately, the reason why they're bringing this up is to perpetuate something that could end in one generation if they just shut the hell up. But they don't want that because they have to perpetuate this ever-going concept of racism, as in it's always there, it's always existing, and it's always holding someone's back, and it has to define that person and their experience. They understand that if that narrative is gone, they have absolutely nothing else. Like I talked about earlier with the professional activists, a lot of these guys are exactly that. Professional activists that have nothing else going for them. Activism is a thing that a lot of people, I mean, you technically call us activists as well, but activism, why it's so popular right now, because these people have no sort of self-fulfillment or anything, and they're looking to try to be something, or rather something, be part of something that means something to the greater world. But they can't seek that in their own personal accomplishments. So they have to keep this crap going, no matter how far we got over the hump. Why does it feel like in the atmosphere now versus even 10, 15 years ago? It's worse when it shouldn't be in terms of race in this country.
It's not worse. It's
perceived, yes, as
it's projected
worse
onto us as if we are in this very racist time. Yep. But it's not actually out there. Just like the pandemic, I always say, you know, that I really would not know that I'm in a pandemic unless the news was always preaching to me about it. I would know that there was a bug going on. I know that there's something underlying that isn't normal, but nothing beyond a normal year, including the fact that I think we still had less deaths in 2017. You know, a lot of this stuff is over-exaggerated. And you bring up the good point, though. I mean, if you bring up my screen here, Savannah, we got this article from Blaze Media that was just released. It says, California school district promotes Black-only parent meeting, calling for Black parents to have larger influence on curriculum. Let's not sugarcoat what you need. It goes on to say that the Val Verde Unified School District in Paris, California, is promoting a Black-only parent event that is calling for Black parents to have a larger impact and influence on shaping district curriculum. The event, while promoted by the school, is run by local California activist Oliver Petty. The outlet reported that the event, a seven-part meeting series, is set for Black district parents to share their experiences and provide input into how the district should alter its curriculum. So what this is saying is that standards in school are actually an inherently white principle. We saw this with racial mathematics in, I don't, was that Savannah? Was that in Seattle or was that in, Was that in Washington or was that in Oregon? I'm not sure.
I don't remember the exact state. All I remember is that math is inherently racist towards
two plus
black
two
people.
It equals five.
For black people. And this is like the idea of saying, well, black people having influence. It's like, well, isn't this supposed to be intellectual people having influence? So you're saying that the intellectual people building a curriculum doesn't work for black people. Inherently, black people need a non-intellectual system of learning. I mean, this is what they're literally, they're mirroring white supremacist ideas that you need to notice black people, you need to treat them differently, and also black people are stupid. Someone's going to clip that out and get me saying that. But that's what they're pushing. And to me, I feel like I'm sitting in a meeting of Richard Spencer or something.
Yeah, it's
talk
the
to
same
me.
Thing. It's the exact same thing where they're basing, you know, literal racism, again, where you think people have this sort of implied, say, set of traits and attributes by way of their race. Often that is displaying some sort of inferiority or superiority, and they don't go by way of merit. This has always been my issue with programs and this sort of hyper emphasis of black this, black that, or white this, white that, or whatever, because on certain things it's universal. It doesn't matter. While I understand culture is an actual thing, right? But in certain things, like you think in just basic forms of education, it should be something that is objective, right? And it should be something that applies no matter if the person is white, black, Hispanic, Asian. None of that should even matter. Unfortunately for these guys, they think that it does. So what they do is they need, okay, these types of people to have their direct imprint, though there will be no equal to this in terms of white parents come in or even Asian parents come in and let's say give their input. It's like, okay, you give your input, we include it, though it's not actually part of the broader conversation, you know, which they should have already been included just because their parents just within this district. Look, I've always made the case that if you want to help, seriously, if you want to help the next generation, take them out of these rotten indoctrination camps, because as you're seeing right now, they're getting progressively, for lack of better terms, worse. And a lot of this crap that is being pumped into these kids' minds is being influenced and first coming through, or rather they're being forced through this sort of channel, and then it gets advanced when they go to university. But this is where they learn a lot of this bull crap. You want to know why? I'm pretty sure you understand, and being out in Portland and Seattle and seeing, if you look at the mugshots, a lot of these guys were part of like the school districts. You had teachers and stuff that were out there riding and stuff. I don't think that's by, let's say, coincidence. I think that is, there's a correlation there that needs to be acknowledged, and it's just rotten. It's just rotten to the core.
No, and I agree with that. And that's why, you know, when you bring this up, it's the indoctrination goes down to this. I don't know if you saw this. Minecraft has a Black History Month. You know, it's trying to educate people on blackness. And it's to
Minecraft.
The point where this is, it's just stupid. Like, and I want to say this, you know, while I'm appreciative for a lot of the work of Daily Wire, appreciative for a lot of the work of Turning Point and stuff, one part of this brand of conservatism that makes me, you know, makes me think that a lot of people are out of touch with reality is they always go, well, what we need to do is we need to have, you know, conservatives need their own movies. Conservatives need their own shows. I'm like, no, what we need is a culture where every damn thing isn't politicized.
Yeah.
That's what we need. Like, people are crying out. People, just show me something that doesn't preach to me about politics.
Exactly.
Just make me laugh. Actually make a joke that's funny and that actually is just like risky in because of the fact that it could offend someone, but isn't overtly political. Just stop. Yep. I don't want conservative movies and I don't want liberal movies. I just want good stories.
Yep.
And if it's a weird liberalish story about some trans person and it's good, like Dallas Buyers Club or something about gay people, fine, I'll watch it. And if it's a good movie too, which people could say, you know, maybe Gina Carano, maybe she's making her own movie, it's a conservative movie and it's good, fine. If it's not good, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And that's what the people don't understand. That's where I say this all the time, but both conservatives as well as libertarians are some of the most culturally inept people that exist, because they don't understand how to combat or navigate throughout these different sort of subcultures that we're involved in. You hit it right on the head. What we need right now are, we don't need, let's say, a parallel in the sense that it's the conservative version or the libertarian version of this. No, what a lot of folks go to this, like Minecraft, for is generally escapism anyway, right? So I don't like having, and this is a real true story, I turn on FIFA and there's some big stupid message that says, say no to racism here. We're going to give your ultimate team a free no to racism jersey. Like, yes, in 2021, it's so brave
for us to sit up here and say that we're not racist. Like, that's the most difficult thing.
FIFA's ahead of the curve.
Yeah, right there. So progressive there. But no, like, we want to get away from that. And this is why, you know, this is one of my main deals that I talk about all the time with, like, what we see in comic books and even comic book adaptations and all the tokenism and bull crap that happens. And they'll run these characters into the ground that, of course, they never created. See, people need to understand why people love these brands in the first place. We talked about Star Wars earlier. Why was that able to connect with basically everybody that was across any spectrum, economic spectrum, racial? It didn't matter. It was just cool, and they loved it. See, that's what we need. And unfortunately, what we're seeing now, like we're seeing with this Minecraft bullcrap and what I just mentioned with like EA Sports and FIFA, what you're seeing now is that they want to beat you over the head with that. So what you mentioned is a market that I don't know where these inept libertarians and conservatives don't seem to understand. It's not that people want the conservative or libertarian version of that. What they want is something where they can consume that is just of the ilk of some of the stuff that they grew up on, but it's just good material first and foremost.
And everyone's always like, well, because Star Wars, set an example of diversity. I'm like, bro, like half the people were aliens. It wasn't about diversity. It was just about the fact that it was like an intergalactic empire, like when globalism 2.0 and the idea of, you know, there's no home identity and people are kind of led by this empire. And what's actually kind of funny is as they push the diversity message, the whole point was that it actually ended up leading to terrible dictatorial control. And that's why if you bring up my screen here, Savannah, it's like, you know, these kind of books you'll see at Target, right? These are really pushed. I see them everywhere. It's like Little Joey about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And there's about 9 books at Target about black people's hair, which apparently is a real thing that I guess black people don't produce oil in their hair. Is that true?
And I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what it is either. But apparently there's some sort of insecurities about black hair because there's like 9 books for children about teaching them to love their hair, which is like, I don't know. I mean,
I've never been taught to hate my hair.
I've never been taught to hate black people's hair. Only thing that I hate is male pattern baldness, which is probably already affecting me. So as long as someone's got hair, I'd say they're steps ahead of most 40-year-olds. But it's like, this is the kind of propaganda, and this leads to divisions. And guys, this is why I want to tell you about something very important. You know, this is a sponsor to our show that is called Bambi, and this is something amazing. If you're running a business, a small business, this is very important for you to listen to, or you know someone that does. Because HR issues can literally kill you. While social issues divide you, I am telling you that an HR manager's salary is not cheap. The average is $70,000 a year. This is a service called Bambi. That's B-A-M-B-E-E, not to be confused with the movie Bambi, which is spelled differently, was created specifically for small businesses in a time where it's the hardest to actually run one. So you can get a dedicated HR manager. This is dedicated to you. You can craft your human resources policy and maintain compliance all for just $99 a month. You can get a dedicated HR manager that is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. This is not some random automated service or some person that's just like, hello, thank you, welcome for calling, or whatever, and you're going, do you speak English? This is an actual person who's here that wants to speak to you and help you to make sure your business does not go under from some stupid lawsuit or some issue between employees. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business, and they help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. This is also month to month too. There's no hidden fees. You can cancel any time. And you didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. So please let Bambi get your free help you get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/offensive right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's free. That's Bambi, BAMBEE.com/offensive to get your free audit today. So that's awesome. That's actually a very good service because honestly, I've seen people who sometimes get fired and then they sue the company and it's not good. So that's just on the side note. Check it out. But, you know, we see this idea too that it's not just like the black people pushing that, you know, black people are superior. There's also like, I could see that an average black person might think like, yeah, I am superior because of the cucked out white people, for lack of better words. I think we have this video here of this woman who is just... it's just sad. Okay, let's roll this video. And this is common rhetoric that we're seeing today in the white communities.
If you're white, yes, you are racist. Even if you think you're woke, we all benefit from oppression. Pretending you're not racist only makes racism grow.
Cringe.
Oh, man, like that's not even, I'm talking about goosebumps worth of cringe right there. That was terrible.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. But no, that's what we've seen. That's what I was talking about before, about these types of weirdos who give themselves this sort of power, this superiority that they don't have. And yeah, so I guess people can look at them and say, yeah, that person is such a loser. Maybe I am actually better than them. But it's a bizarre phenomena, because this is why I say it's manifest itself in this way, because it's been constantly perpetuated and people actually believe this crap when it couldn't be anything further from the true. I look at these again, scrawny pencil neck white dudes who, which, you know, I'm pretty much better than in every single aspect, make more money, better looking, more athletic. And they will sit there and say, I'm an oppressor because I'm white. And it's really what they're doing is trying to massage their own egos. That's the world of sort of activism that we deal with now, where people are trying to make themselves feel good by thinking that this makes them look
good. Yeah, like, I'm giving up some power that I had. When it's like, put it back on the screen. You know, we were talking about this, you know, like, I've had a guest on, like, Nicole Arbour. Nicole Arbour, I'm a married man, so I'll just say she's well endowed and her followers know that. So there's a certain level of, like, even, like, you know, I agree. You can put your breasts out a little bit and show them off in a video, get some views and clicks. And I would say that for the most part, you can't really mess that up. Boobs get clicks. But for this poor cringe girl, check this out. She's intentionally making sure her cleavage gets into the shot.
Yeah.
If we can bring her back up on the screen. And it's like, I'm still disturbed. It doesn't help me. Yeah. Like, it's,
no,
like, this poor,
she's too stupid.
This poor girl, I'm not making fun of her looks. It's like, she's like, I'm an oppressor and my boobs are out. Look at me. I've got something to offer. And you're going, she looks like a nice enough girl, but sweetheart, like, first of all, no one wants to see that cleavage. Put it away. Second of all, you don't have anything. You're not offering anything to the world besides maybe some nice colored eyes that look, you know, she has nice eyes. But she also looks like she's the kind of girl, when you read those stories where they chop off their, like, husband's penis when they're sleeping because they cheated or something.
Well, we're in a bobbit.
She looks like someone that would do that. And it's like, that's what I mean, is it's like, it's such narcissism to be like,
absolutely,
I have so much power.
Absolutely.
Look at my, like, I'm look at who I am, and I'm just really, really trying hard to, like, give up everything God's blessed me with. And you're like, next.
It doesn't, you don't have that. You don't possess that the point that I'm trying to make, that you don't possess that. You don't have that. Yet, for whatever reason, these people have given themselves this sort of authority that does not exist. It simply does not exist. They don't inherit that because simply they are white. But it's a theory that seems to make sense of, I guess, the world to them, or rather, less about that. It's more so makes sense of the nonsense that they've been doing in terms of their activism, and they need it to continue to exist. That's why they're going to keep saying it. It doesn't matter how far we get all these examples of fake hate crimes. Like, why do you think people do stuff like that? Why do you think Jussie Smollett is the way that, or did what it is that he did? Because there's a lot of not only money in being a victim, but more so perpetuating the idea of this very, very uber aggressive racism. But that's all they have. They don't even have anything else aside from that. And it makes them feel good. It makes the victim feel good. And it also makes the supposed phantom oppressor feel very good about themselves, that they're letting the world know that, look at me, I have this power. I'm admitting that I'm having this power in order to make the world a better place.
It's like a cult.
It's exactly what it is. It's a cult. And these people are legitimately crazy.
Yeah, and that's what I know you guys have probably heard a lot about this, right? But if we can go to my screen here, Savannah, like, you know, we had this recent, you know, mega viral story about Coca-Cola asking their employees to be less white. And I think it's important. I'm glad that they defined what it means being less white, right? And they had these tenets up saying to be less oppressive, to be less arrogant, to be less certain. And this is where, like, it starts to get a bit racist. Like,
a bit?
Like, well, yeah, but
a
I meant,
lot.
But I, but I meant, like, oh, being able to make decisions with confidence means that you're white. Now, of course, Savannah's in the room and she's on the screen. And the reason why she has a hard time making decisions is not because she's a person of color. It's because she's a woman. And that,
I don't have problems making decisions. Totally, if any joking. One of us has problems making decisions, it's a lie to hear.
Oh,
who gets this show
fired.
Up and running?
A
every
woman
day?
Getting offended easily. I'm just kidding. No. Fired. But I'm saying, like, it's what that. But actually, this was my joke. Is that actually Savannah is the one that is more confident and makes decisions more quickly and isn't like that. And so it's like, I'm just interested, Savannah. It's like, when you hear this, because you know our dynamics, when they're going like, oh yeah, like, being less white, does that mean that you are white? I mean, I don't know.
And you know what is really interesting too, is this isn't the first time that we've seen people equate, like, successful traits with whiteness. Mm. I don't know why we're constantly doing that as a society. It's always like, oh yeah, if you're successful or you're financially stable, it's because you're white. I'm sorry. So Hispanic people can't be financially stable and successful at their jobs? I'm sorry,
Do you remember the Washington? Wait, hold up. Did you see the Washington Post totally botched their tweet and said, like, this is the best thing? They were like, scandal. Wealthy people got in the way of the order of vaccines from Black and Hispanic people. And so they made a dichotomy, a difference between wealthy and Black and Hispanic. Yeah. And you're going, they literally just assumed that white people are the wealthy people, or Asians, meaning Asians and white people, which is actually statistically true.
With the Asians,
that's what I'm saying.
Off.
Asians make a lot of money. So if they're talking about Asians, then if they maybe call Asians wealthy, then we're fine. But like, there's a lot of poor people that are disproportionately affected, right? The majority of people in poverty in this country are white. Yeah. Not proportionally,
to the population. You mean by literal, like...
But literal, there's 300 and something million people in this country. If you randomly took out a person that's in poverty, the chances are they would be white.
Yes.
And so it's like, the point is that these people are so out of touch that it's like, can we go back to this list? It says, be less defensive. Like, basically just be agreeable. Like, don't actually defend your purpose. Be less ignorant. Be more humble, as if Black people aren't prideful too. Like, that's a human trait. Listen, believe. Like, what kind of, it sounds like a, it's like a, what is this?
It's garbage is what it is, but it's just kind of bizarre how they conflate whiteness with some of these things, right? Like, it means that that's where the racism, I think, lies, is really on the opposite side, is that they're suggesting that, you know, whiteness means you're arrogant. You know what I mean? Whiteness should be conflated with ignorance. You know what I mean? So if you're being less of that, then you're being, or less white, rather, you're being less ignorant. Because to be white would mean to be, to conflate it with ignorance, which is silly. You know what I mean? And this is why I've always had an issue with, like, how we talk about race. Because it strips people away from their own individuality. Right? Look. Us being different races and whatnot, yes, that's a thing that can be acknowledged. But to assume, like, just because you're white, I'm pretty sure there are white folks, you mean, considering your work, plenty of white folks that you can't stand. You know what I mean? And vice versa.
So the majority of the people that I come across that I can't stand
are white.
Except for the occasional fat, Black, sassy lady that's entitled for no reason.
Yeah.
That they piss me off too.
Yeah, yeah. But you get what I'm saying, right? It's like, this idea that you're all on one accord and that you're all the same, and it's like complete nonsense. And the same goes for whether we were Black people. Like, just because this person is Black, we have this particular, or we have these shareable, agreeable traits, which I'm not going to say that culture isn't a thing. What I'm saying is that to limit it to that is insulting. Right, to limit, it doesn't matter what race you are, because we're so much more than that. But that's how the conversation is being held. It's that it is something poor, unfortunately. That's what it means to be Black, right? That ignorance is what it means to be white. And it's, again, perpetuating more racism than it is anything else, because we're supposed to be over this bull crap. And if you listen to what it is that they claim to believe, that's what they say that they want. They want people to be judged by rather their own personal accomplishments and their own individuality. But then they speak out of the other side of their mouth, and it's everything but. It's like, okay, because you're Black, because you're white, this actually is your experience, because you're not an individual.
Well, and that's what I mean too, is that it's very interesting, because as a white person of privilege, you know, I just have to say this, you know, you look at the matter here, and it's like, we're all in this room. That's what you said. We were past the hurdle. We're all from different ethnicities.
And we don't even think about it half the time. We just do what we do.
No, you don't know. I have, what's that called? Internalized racism.
Oh.
Mine is not cognitive.
So true. So true. I experience it every single day. You know, I walk in and Elijah, he just always talks down to me, you know?
Well, like, literally, as a white because man. You're like 4'4". And so it's like.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. You know, someone Photoshopped us. Some people have like this obsession now with making memes of Sav and I, and just making them on Telegram. And they put us into the Star Wars poster, but they put me as Obi-Wan and her as Yoda, and photoshopped her face. Wow. Oh, I love it. Sam, we could put that in post. We can bring that up.
We're going to have to. But honestly, I think that it's just really an example of, you know, Elijah's white privilege. That's why they made him the taller one, and they have me below him.
Green.
Yeah.
At least she's the wise one, right? But I'm supposed to be Anakin, the arrogant one. But this is why I want to bring this up. So we have this, but obviously as we get into this, what they're saying is like, then you have real problems in the black community with violence, right? And real black on black violent crimes, which we know now is racist to talk about. My favorite thing that I've seen about this whole black superiority thing is the total intentional ignoring of real black problems, as if like white people's this is going to be sounds so horrible, but it's like, okay, D'Angelo's like, let's approach the problem with white people. So the white community has some serious problems. You guys are ignorant. You're not very humble. And, you know, you could try to listen a little bit more. And it's like, you go to the black community and they go, well, if we're going to go tell them what to do, well, they've got some serious problems too. So let's ignore it. And Illinois, if you can bring up my screen, Illinois lawmakers look at the potential problems in black communities, this rise in violence in Chicago, specifically in the South Side. And then they blame, they says Illinois lawmakers seek to ban Grand Theft Auto game following the rise in carjackings. So they're like, well, what white people need is like therapy sessions to become less ignorant. And what black people need to stop the violence is banning like video games. And you're going, I think you guys are confused on what every race needs right now. Yeah. Like, I don't think you know what the hell's going on with the races and what people are actually experiencing, because this whiteness and white fragility stuff is not going to help any of the issues that you're seeing in white-black relations. And if you really want to help white-black relations, you've got to work on the core problems, I think, in black communities too, to understand why white people are naturally like more reserved or pulled back from certain black people. Like, crime stats is a big contributing mm-hmm. factor. Mm-hmm. An experience where mm-hmm. people have had bad experiences with mm-hmm. with someone of a different race. Mm-hmm. And then they go, well, then how are we going to fix that? Yeah. Let's ban a video game.
Yeah, no. Look, the concept of race, for the most part, for a very long time, has not even been discussed in an honest sense, right? It's not actually addressing the problems that exist in any community, for that matter, white, black, or what have you, because we know they have issues, poor white folk, poor black folk, or what have you. There are issues in these communities that may be unique to them. You know what I mean? It absolutely may be unique to those, but we can't even discuss it honestly because certain aspects of it, unfortunately, is considered like off like limits. So you can't talk about it.
I can't talk about it.
Well, you can't talk about it. Or if I talk about it, I'm like fake black person or something, even though I was raised from Oak Cliff, Texas, right, or, you know, around here in South Dallas. You know what I mean? So, but that doesn't even matter to these people. And that's the frustration, I guess, that I have, because I would love for these issues to be resolved. And I say this as a guy that used to bang, you know what I mean? Like, as a guy that used to be that guy that was running up and down, terrorizing his own communities. You know what I mean? All other black people.
But why
and,
did you do that? I'm going to ask you. That's because, was it because of Grand Theft Auto?
No, it had nothing to do with it. It's a culture problem. Yeah, it's not Grand Theft Auto.
I want to be honest, like with the audience.
Right.
Why did you do
that?
Well,
a lot of things is, it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? You know what I mean? Because I grew up in an aspect where it's like, okay, if I clicked up with other people, that meant a certain level of like security. Whether it be cultural, economic, or whatever. And so people gravitate towards that to participate in that. And a lot of it's cloud-based. Like, not every, even like, even among people that bang, like, it's different reasons out here than it is maybe up in the West Coast of California or something like that for different reasons. But the thing is, it's like, the funny thing is that's where I was going with it, is that not once I noticed, and I talk about this, where not once when I was actually doing that was I ever called a like fake black person, Uncle Tom, House Negro, or something like that. And I was actually committing violent acts against other black people. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, whether it be, I was more in the fight. I wasn't in the more shooting anything. I was in the fighting people on site, right? And not once did that ever happen, though you literally terrorize other black people. And this is why you see these people don't ever go after those folks who are in their own communities, terrorizing their own communities. But, you know, you step out of line from a political standpoint, and then absolutely you become a faker. So it's like, okay, so you mean to tell me I can actually commit violent acts against other black people? And that's okay. But the minute I start thinking and say that I'm all about accountability and responsibility and fixing problems that exist within these communities or anywhere else for that matter, as opposed to looking to like some external source, well, that landed me the names that they dare to call me right now. But yeah, like communities have problems that need to be addressed, but it's off limits to talk about. It's like it's taboo. It's not even that. It's like, okay, it's disrespectful to talk about any of those things, because those
unfortunately, would mean that a lot of folks would have to turn the mirror on themselves. Mm-hmm. What did you do to contribute to that particular environment? And that's something that a lot of folks don't want to deal with. A lot of these leaders that are around, the race hustlers, they don't want to address that problem. It's not convenient, and it's which sucks, because it's an easier solution than what people are making it out to be, trying to find all of this external bull crap. Like, well, this man, the man and all this is doing all this. Like, dude, okay, even if we conceded that that was a thing, you're more likely to fix what's around you in your environment and in fixing that, as opposed to looking to the external. And this is why I love Brother Malcolm X, who was one of my favorite, Black leaders. Certainly when he would have these conversations, certainly among Black people, would say, look, instead of looking at trying to get the white folk to accept us, we need to look into, have the Black man accept himself. And then he won't be looking to white folks to fix his problem, or begging to be begging to be accepted by him, or begging to be included in his affairs. And that's what that community needs. It's what a lot of communities need in order to fix their problems. But that's not a convenient thing.
Yeah, and it's not. And that's why I want to bring this up. You know, Ethan Klein, a literal sack of hot dog of a person.
For lack of better term.
Yeah, for lack of better terms. And that's being nice. And I'm sorry for using two no-no words today, Sav, but I am not liking this. Ethan Klein, who I'm inclined to say might be one of the dumbest podcasters with a large following.
Yeah, I don't even understand the appeal.
I don't.
Like, what did he do?
The H3 podcast is so bad that I went on to Twitter to go to find this tweet and found out he blocked me, and I don't even know why. Like, he's so bad that he can't even follow people who have different opinions than him.
I don't understand your appeal.
Yeah, can,
like, he's not. It's not like he's just very like well spoken. His topics are all off the chain. He has this personality that would be very. I have no idea what this. And I'm not a hater like that. I just don't understand.
Like, other podcasts are like smoking weed, and his podcast is like smoking CBD. It's like it's all smell but no effect, and that's just the truth.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so he like brings this up, right? And he's. I, by the way, my response to this was, is anybody going to tell him? But it's like, Asian hate crimes are up 700% since Trump and his xenophobic racist cohort started calling COVID the Wuhan virus, Kung flu, etc. It may seem innocent, but the effect of scapegoating is violence. God, stop Asian hate. And he is possibly one of the dumbest people. And guys, I'm going to tell you what, real fast, before we jump into this, we're going to talk a little about these attacks on Asian people and the real problems that are happening here and how this shows and proves our point. But, people are being attacked. And Sav, you've been attacked. I've been attacked. I know when you were banging out there, you probably attacked some people. And that's what I want to remind you guys about, something called Personal Defense Network. You guys, if you're not familiar with the Personal Defense Network, they offer the world's largest collection of high-quality educational self-defense material on the internet. From firearms to self-defense to home defense training, Personal Defense Network will assist you. I'm telling you this. PDN is an educational community, which is awesome. It's built by patriots just like you that provides vital and easy to understand real-world tips and tactics. The PDN team has the world's best instructors, and they've been delivering life-saving information to people like you and me for over 15 years. Now, I've done my homework when it comes to learning the right moves. Just type in myrightsmyhome.com/offensive. That's myrightsmyhome.com/offensive, and the discount will be applied at checkout. Their premium membership will be just $3, guys. A couple bucks. That's only three. And that's right, just $3 for membership. That's usually $69. $69 is a good number in some cases, but when it comes to cost, not exactly. So for $3, listen, we know evil exists in the world. Go to myrightsmyhome.com/offensive. You can click the links in the description below to get the year membership for just $3. It's amazing. And you can get a life-saving training that you need. And you might need it, especially if you're Asian. So Ethan Klein said that, you know, Asian attacks on Asians are up 700%. Now, I'm just going to say this. It's all Black people committing the crimes, and I'm not afraid to say that it is. These are mostly convenience stores and also random attacks. But he thinks that it's Trump's xenophobia and calling it the COVID, the Kung flu, that triggered a bunch of Black dudes in the hood to start robbing and shooting Asian people and playing games of like knockout, where they're going around knocking out Asian people. Mm. I mean, I just want to hear your thoughts on this and how this got connected to white supremacy.
Well, it's because, again, they don't talk about it honestly. They it's a refusal to talk about it honestly. So they avoid having to acknowledge that inconvenient truth
that it does seem that they're almost exclusively the attacker.
Not everyone, but most.
The vast majority.
Over 90%.
Yes, of these attacks seem to be orchestrated by, let's say, Black people. And it sucks, but in order to solve the problem, if that's your actual goal, which I don't, it's never been, obviously.
Can I cut you off there? I know what you're going to say. Ban Grand Theft Auto.
Yes, that's what you have to do. No, you have to ban Grand Theft. That's the only way we get to a solution.
Black people will finally be free. Imagine if Grand Theft Auto existed during slavery. All you would have had to have done was to free the blacks. Ban Grand Theft Auto,
and we're good to go. Like it's that simple, because all of like the racial issues are centered around Grand Theft Auto. But no, like in order, you have to talk about it honest, and it shouldn't be such a like making you emotionally distraught to the point to where you just don't want to have the conversation that, okay, look, it does seem to be a slant here. Can we acknowledge that slant exists, and can we fix the problem? But until then you can't, but you know, Trump is the scapegoat, even though he's not there anymore. Trump's the scapegoat. So, oh, well, he said Chinese virus, and therefore, that's the risk. Like, dude, how disconnected from you are. It's not even a disconnect. What it is, it's the refusal to acknowledge what is actually there. So what you're trying to do is speak a narrative into existence, because it's a very inconvenient, uncomfortable truth that you don't want to address.
But why is it uncomfortable? Because to me, it's like crime is crime. Like, like the FBI, like the proportion of the amount of people who are committing white-collar crimes, not in relation to their skin, are wealthy people, right? These are wealthy people. And a lot of the wealthy people in our country are white. So, you know, if I'm in the FBI and I'm looking for who's committing securities fraud, I'm probably not going to go into the hood in a black community and go, you know, interview some low-income black community. I'm going to probably look at the billionaire people and specifically look at the families, and if there's connections who have probably historically in this country been white, because this has historically been a majority white country.
Yeah.
So, that being said, it's like, that's not racist against white people. It's just, that's just what happens to be the truth. Yeah. So it's like, when you're talking about this, this is not saying that black people are inherently.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that that's happening because they're black. You know what I mean? Like,
but black and Asian relations have always been sketchy, especially in LA, right? With the Rodney King riot stuff.
Yeah, we already knew
this
that.
Is not a new thing.
With the Korean rooftop.
Asians don't really like black people, and black people don't really like Asians.
It's an actual legitimate thing.
I know that. I know that from living in LA. And, you know, you see some of this, you're going to have to blur that. Sorry, Savannah. I know we were playing that, but you're not to blur that in post. Just reminding you, because we can't show them beating up Asians. But like, you see this and you go like, Dion Lim, right? This is an Asian reporter, has been getting pissed on my screen here. Like, she's helping intercept black people who are trying to, you know, this is becoming a trend. And you know, this is actually a problem. It's like you said about being accepted. There's a lack of fathers in black homes. There's this lack of identity. There's this tribal community. And it could just be a trend, like school shootings, which may or may not be orchestrated by the CIA. But I'm not going to get into that. But I'm going to say there's this, obviously this thing where it's like things become a trend and these guys lack direction. There's, you know, rather than going to a gang, it's like, well, I'm going to get some clout and attack some Asian people.
Yeah.
And she sees this and it's like, these people are online openly calling to kill Asians. Imagine if this was reversed and this was black people as the victims and white people calling. This would be every story of this rise in white supremacy.
Absolutely.
There's a rise of white supremacy, and they would be telling every black person, you're not safe to walk. You're not safe to go to your business. You watch out, because white people are going to attack you. And they would slam this on all white people everywhere. White people need to come out and condemn this. We need to have tributes and candles, and we need to, every black, you know, say their names.
Yeah.
Say their names, Jamal or whatever. I don't know what black names are. But where's the say their names now? Like, say their names, like Jan Kim, say their names, like Robert Zim, like what? Where's that?
It's not going to be a thing. Don't expect it to be, unfortunately. But again, it's because they have conflated, and this is why I always hated the term POC. You know what I'm saying? Because POC, it like, I'm like, dude, do you not know how there are people of other races? And just, I say this as a person that's been in Dallas. You know what I mean? Like, the relationship between some other races are not the same. Like there is, you might think that white folk, or there's a beef between white folk and black folk. I remember growing up, we used to have a Mexicans versus black fight every year, like just to do it. Not even joking. We used to have one every single year. That was a thing. And then it was like, we went on about our business, but to act like they're like, just because we're all not white, we are all the same and we're on a one accord, couldn't be any further from the truth. But unfortunately, their narrative narrative depends on that. See, the white folks are the evil people. Therefore, we have to make it, and it's just an inconvenient thing, like, well, it seems to be that there's an attack. A lot of those guys seem to be black. They don't want to address that because, again, you have to understand these people are very emotional, irrational people. So they will try to literally speak a world into existence. That's not this textbook gaslighting. It's like you see it with your own eyes. Like, I'm looking at this. I see the story. We have all of these confirmed cases in which this exists. And by confirmed cases, I'm not talking about COVID. But, you know, we have these instances that are there.
Like right here on the screen. I mean, yeah, you see more. Look, Chinese man's teeth knocked out.
You can see it.
Suffers brain hemorrhages. More arrests made in the street attack of a 91-year-old California man. This is anti-hate advocates say the pandemic has fueled attacks on Asians nationwide. This is the pandemic. Is what's fueling like
they don't even want to like you imagine how out of the like again it depends what? They have narratives that they're trying to run with and it their whole entire shtick depends on that and this is why I'm always like dude we could be as rational as we want to be we can be as intellectual we can lead with our ideas but we're not dealing with rational people here that's why it's often ineffective to try to communicate that on just being the smartest person mm-hmm. in the room it's not necessarily effective because they're not operating based on that there's a narrative that they've been running with that it may not exist it may not even be a thing it could matter of fact it could be an actual lie like it couldn't be any further from the truth but it doesn't matter. This is what they've they're clinging to, and they're going to try to speak this into existence. And it sucks because, yes, you want the relationship between these other races to be resolved. But how can it be resolved if we can't talk about the problem honestly? You want relationship blacks among black, white people among you want that to be better. You want that to be progressed, if you will. But we can't if we can't have an honest conversation to where somebody acknowledges that simple fact. And you just clutch your pearls and faint on the couch at the idea of someone even bringing it up, or rather, you're now the racist because you mentioned what was a statistical fact, like the fact that we can't even have an honest conversation to get to the solution, because we can't get to a solution until that happens. That's why these problems continue to persist.
And with that, I'll say, guys, this is Eric July. You can follow him in all of the links below, pretty much everywhere in social media. But particularly, I encourage you to subscribe to his YouTube, which is also in the links. If you're listening or if you're watching, please subscribe to his YouTube channel. It's actually very amazing, and you get a lot of interesting ideas. But that being said, you know, when we say that the new alt-right is black, it's saying that, you know, this is the point. They are committing acts of racism and violence, and it's being excused publicly. There is a sense of superiority being pushed, a sense of the white people being, you know, they're no longer even in the conversation. They're not the victims or the oppressors anymore. Asians are leading ahead in all stats, pretty much of intellect, of income, of status, and they're also now the leaders of the targets of anti-racial hate crimes. So, you know, what we're finding here is that there is this movement, this counterproductive movement, and in the end, it's still screwing over the black community. And we're not against, you know, I'm actually kind of against all racial communities. Like, I don't like even saying the black community, and I'm sad that in our country we have to still talk like that, that we can't just be one people united under a flag under God. Like, why we can't just have that be our country? I don't know. But again, please check out Eric July. Anyway, if you make it this far in the podcast, please remember that this is an audio-only podcast. It really helps us and helps advertisers, as you know, that our entire channel is demonetized. We pretty much don't have funding anywhere else. We've been funding the show through advertisers, which is awesome. Really able to move, expand, and travel. But if you're not able to support us through the advertisers, you can go right now to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review. It's free. Just be honest. Let us know your opinions. It doesn't cost you anything. You can also subscribe on Google Play, Spotify, wherever else you can find podcasts. And guys, with censorship, with getting a lot of things removed, having these kind of conversations, making episodes like this is not just about being edgy. It's not just about, like, you know, I could actually be more edgy than this. This is about, you know, setting us up for the truth and realizing that deplatforming is coming. So please don't wait till it's too late to lose contact with this content or with Eric July, who's actually a contributor here as well. Go to blazetv.com/Elijah. Remember, this is your last week to get $30 off a year subscription. You get access to Crowder, my content. You can see Eric all the time, all over the network as well, as many others. Go to blazetv.com/Elijah. It's the easiest, most direct way to support this show as well as to support the network and let them know that you want to see more of this content. Anyway, I want to say a huge thank you to Eric.
Of course.
Thank you for coming on the show. A huge check out to Savannah. As always, you want to give the last word?
thank you for this show. It was very informative, and I'm glad that we're bringing light to these topics. I think it's very important.
Yeah, and by the way, in case you want to know, she picked out the attacks on Asian stories. No similarity to the fact that she's Asian. She was like, we got to talk about Asians being victims because I'm a victim every day on this show.
Just genuinely.
Anyway, guys, thanks again so much for watching. As always, have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.